Thank you. My name is Kurt Young. I'd like to thank my major professor, Dr. Bruce Roundy, for all his support. My research is largely funded by the Joint Fire Science Program in conjunction with the SAGE-STEP project. And my presentation will focus on mechanically shredding Utah juniper and the soil characteristics. So I'll begin by talking about ecological concerns, then I'll move through experimental design, objectives, measurement methods, results, conclusions, and implications. So evident in these time series photos of the Shoshone Mountains in Nevada, pinyon juniper species have taken over thousands of hectares of sagebrush steppe. Over time without fire, juniper density increases, decreasing the understory vegetation, which can increase the potential for erosion and catastrophic wildfire due to increased canopy fuel loads. So, to deal with these high canopy fuel loads, the Bureau of Land Management in Utah is mechanically shredding Utah juniper on hundreds of hectares annually in Utah. This treatment involves a large tractor with rapidly spinning spikes that shred these standing trees and leave this shredded debris across the landscape on pre-existing canopy litter mounds and interspaced soil. This treatment is expected to reduce the rate of fire spread and help make fire more controllable. This treatment can be applied in a variety of patterns, from thinning and mosaics to clear cuts. So the concern is whether mechanically shredding juniper will alter resource availability and promote a degradation pathway towards dominance by invasive annuals, or will it alter the resource availability in a way that supports native perennial restoration pathway. So as cheatgrass is the major invasive weed and bluebunch is a major native perennial of the historic plant community, we've used these two species as test species to test the effects of mechanically shredding juniper on resource availability, and in turn, weed versus native plant dominance. So far, the ecological impacts of mechanically shredding juniper is largely unknown. So our hypothesis is that adding the shredded juniper fuels to the soil will increase soil microorganism decomposition activity by providing organic matter, an energy source for the soil microorganisms, and also increase the time or the duration of soil water availability by the surface cover reducing evaporation. So as the soil microorganisms use available soil nitrogen to decompose this high carbon to nitrogen ratio fuel, shredded debris, this should reduce the amount of soil nitrogen availability and limit the advantage of cheatgrass or the invasive annual over the native perennial blue bunch in this case. And the reason this should occur is that the invasive annual has been shown to be highly responsive to soil nitrogen availability, whereas the native perennial is well adapted to continually low soil nitrogen availability with its higher root to shoot ratios and nitrogen use efficiency with perennial structures. So we compared our treatment plots at the microsite scale because we expected these microsite characteristics to influence our measured responses. So in this untreated control plot picture here, there were three microsites: the interspace in between the trees, the canopy litter microsite under the trees, and the removed litter microsite also under the tree. These microsites allowed us to isolate the effects of the litter on our measured responses. Now the shredded treatment plots, those had three microsites that corresponded with the untreated control. Those were the interspace, the litter, and the removed litter. But the shredded plots had the two additional microsites of debris over litter and debris on the soil. These microsites allowed us to isolate the effects of the debris on the measured responses. The experimental design was a randomized complete block with four blocks. There was three locations: Greenville, Onikee, and Stansbury. The measured responses I'll talk about today were the soil water and temperature, soil organic matter, soil nitrogen availability, above ground biomass. So we analyzed this in a mixed model analysis of variance approach using PROC-MIXED. So the first objective is to determine if shredding juniper increased the time or the duration of soil water availability. So to answer this, we used wet degree days, which are the summation of days when water potential is greater than the wilting point of negative 1.5 megapascals and soil temperatures are greater than 0 degrees C. We recorded the data with the CR10X data logger. We measured soil water potential using gypsum blocks and soil temperature using Constantan thermocouple wire. So this graph shows our treatment comparisons at the 1 to 3 centimeter depth with wet degree days on our vertical axis and microsites by season on our horizontal axis. So there is somewhat of a trend here of increased wet degree days with the shredding of juniper. In, at this depth, it is more apparent in the litter microsites. But if we move down to the 13 to 15 centimeter soil depths, we see that this trend of more wet degree days, or as we're looking at, is better microsite environment conditions for the growth of plants or microorganisms. We're seeing across microsites, the interspace, the litter, and the removed litter, more wet degree days with the shredding of juniper. So this is probably because, well, a shredded juniper is no longer taking up soil water, you know, and the canopy's gone, so it's not shading the microsite, so you can get a little more temperature, and the canopy's no longer intercepting precipitation, and the shredded debris may be serving to reduce soil water evaporation. Now to look at the microsites comparisons among microsites, still talking about wet degree days and seasons by treatment, we see that the microsites with surface cover, the litter, debris over litter, and the debris microsites, they had more wet degree days than the uncovered microsites. Now this comparison was most significant in the shredding treatment at the 1 to 3 centimeter soil depth. It's still an important trend, and so we expect that the surface cover was reducing the soil water evaporation, and that's why we're seeing that. So for the second objective, was to determine if the shredding of juniper increased the percent soil organic matter in the top 2 centimeters of the soil where we thought we would have the best chance of finding differences. And so this graph is showing the microsite comparisons for percent soil organic matter. And we have treatment plots across the bottom. But the treatment comparison itself did not change the percent soil organic matter. But we did see a difference in microsite comparisons. So those microsites that were influenced by the old canopy litter that had been there for many decades, they did have more organic matter in the top of the soil profile than did the other microsites. So for the third objective was to determine if the shredding juniper increased the soil nitrogen availability. So we measured soil nitrogen availability, or soil nitrogen supply rate, using PRS resins that quantified nitrate and ammonium over 4 months. We exchanged resins around November, March, and July. So here are our treatment comparisons. We have nitrogen availability, and the units are micrograms per 10 centimeters squared over 4 months. And on the horizontal axis, we have seasons by microsites. So there's a pretty clear trend here of increased soil nitrogen availability after the shredding of juniper, which makes sense. You know, you've killed the juniper tree, so it's no longer taking up the nitrogen. You've removed the canopy, so now you're getting some more. You're not getting the canopy interception of precipitation. You can have warmer temperatures and a variety of things that affect nitrogen availability. Well, and you may have some decomposition of the fine roots releasing nitrogen as well into the soil. Now looking at the microsite comparisons for nitrogen availability, you're talking about, we have seasons by treatment across the horizontal axis now. So for our microsite comparisons, we see that the litter-influenced microsites had more nitrogen availability than the other microsites. Now, I'm talking right now directly about the shredded treatment plots. It was also interesting to see, and something that we'd hope to see, that the debris itself reduced soil nitrogen availability for the late summer through winter. And we're comparing that one directly to Interspace because the debris microsites used to be Interspace microsites before the treatment. So we see that just putting the debris on the soil, we saw a decrease in soil nitrogen availability. But there was a reversal when we went over to the untreated plot, where we still had live trees, where the litter had the least amount of soil nitrogen availability. And that, we think, goes back to the juniper trees are still living and using up soil nitrogen there, and the canopy is intercepting precipitation, so you can have some pretty dry microsites right under the tree. So our fourth objective was to determine if shredding juniper favors native species or weedy species. There hasn't been much research on the shredding of juniper, but Benson, 2006, found that chipped Utah juniper and single leaf pinyon can increase the density and cover of perennial grasses and decrease the density and cover of invasive annuals. So that's encouraging. So we planted 40 seeds of blue bunch and cheatgrass in separate half-meter rows. And we planted that in October and collected the final above-ground biomass the following August. And we did that for a couple of years. So for our treatment comparisons, we have above-ground biomass in grams on the vertical axis and microsites by species on the horizontal axis. So both species responded positively to the shredding of juniper, which makes sense. We've already found more wet degree days and more soil nitrogen availability. So this would stand to reason. Looking at the microsite comparisons, we see that the litter and the removed litter microsites had more biomass production for both species than the other microsites. Differences, well, that's in the shredded treatment plot. We didn't see much difference in the untreated plot. And for our species comparisons for above ground biomass and crams, we see that the invasive annual had more biomass than a native perennial, which is in line with our hypothesis that the invasive annual was more responsive to soil nitrogen availability. So for conclusions, if we're looking at the shredding juniper treatment effect, the overall treatment effect, we have to remember this is short term. It's only been measured a couple of years after treatment. But the shredding treatment increased wet degree days. There was no effect on soil organic matter. There's increased soil nitrogen availability. There's increased biomass of both the native perennial and the invasive annual. But the invasive annual had more biomass production than the native perennial. Now, it's also important to remember that this was a seedling per seedling comparison. And the results probably would have differed had we compared the invasive annual versus a well-established native perennial grass. Now, just looking at the effect of the shredded debris, because it was scattered around outside of the effect of, you know, killing the tree and things, just the shredded debris itself, and comparing that to Interspace, which is what it used to be, we see that the debris itself sometimes increased wet degree days. There's no effect on soil organic matter. It decreased soil nitrogen availability, and there's no effect on above ground biomass. So, for my last slide here, there were four implications. There is hope that mechanically shredding juniper will alter resource availability in a way that promotes a restoration pathway towards dominance by native species. However, as both species responded positively to the shredding of juniper, it could follow a degradation pathway towards dominance by invasive annuals. But the key thing to remember and to take home today is that we're already in a degraded juniper dominated state, and if we don't do anything, sooner or later that catastrophic wildfire is going to come through with those high canopy fuel loads, and then we may only be left with invasive annuals growing. So it is imperative that we do control juniper early before our understory is lost and the system has changed too much. Thank you.
Do do have time for one question, if you have any.
Well, isn't it discussion?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, the average depth was around 3 to 4 centimeters of the shredded material. I didn't include that in this study, but I have included that in previous presentations, and there is kind of a nice graph that shows a fairly linear relationship with depth and total shredded fuel biomass. Fairly nice linear approach there, but as an average around 3 to 4 centimeters. Yes, we did. As you see in these here, I combined, just for the brevity of the presentation, I combined the effects of the soil temperature and let me get into my wet degree days. Okay. So you have two things going on with wet degree days. You have your soil water changing and your soil temperature changing. And so it seemed like what we were seeing is that the debris or the surface cover material increased the duration of soil water availability. And you have to divide it up by sort of the year, the warm part of the year and the cool part of the year. And our results go along with the general intuition of what you would find with surface cover, that is, it tends to cool the soil, maintain a lower temperature of the soil during the warmer times of the year, spring, summer, fall kind of a thing, depending on where you live. But in the winter, it tends to keep the soil a little bit warmer. And it seems like it does a little better job of cooling in the warm parts of the year than it does in maintaining the internal earth's warmth in the cold part of the year. So what we're looking at for effects of, if we're just talking about soil temperature, an implication from that would be if you have surface cover, to have a delayed response of your plant species in spring because of the cooler temperatures, and an earlier response in your uncovered microsites in spring because of the warming up, the warmer temperatures. So that's kind of what we're looking at there. Thank you.